Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord. God is here. God is here. What a joy to be in the house of the Lord together. Great to see each one. And to be in the faith together, a living faith and a living God. Just so thankful for what He's doing in our lives, in our church, and through our church. Obviously, we just returned from India, and it has been... It's a life-changing time to go. The things you see, the things you experience, you will never be the same. And it was really a great privilege to go, and really as an extension of this church, the heart and faith and vision of this church, that God has given this amazing open door. And it was such a privilege to be there and to go through it. Guaranteed, you would fall in love with each child one at a time, just being with them, seeing them, hearing them, getting to know them, and God has, redeemed the lives of these children through the ministry that we're a part of. So, I want to play you something. That's our children singing a praise song, a worship song. And next we have so many pictures and clips, and in time I think next week we'll have some in the service, and then in time we'll also have an India night where we will have a real focus together on the trip and on the work there. So, and then of course in the message today I'm going to walk you through a lot of what we saw. So in Proverbs 25:25, it says that as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And that's what I bring to you this morning, good news from a far country. And what could be greater news to us as an evangelical church, as we consider that the life and of Christ and the gospel of grace is reaching people and changing people's lives. It's so refreshing to us, like cold water to a thirsty soul, when we think about people hearing the gospel, growing in their faith. It was so encouraging for me to go and see. I've heard a lot about the children's home, but to really see David and the team there, and see what an evangelical heart they have for the children, teaching the Bible, leading them in the faith, meeting the physical needs, but also the spiritual needs. And that was so refreshing and encouraging for me to see that. So we'll read some verses and then we'll pray. Romans chapter 10. And listen with me, or turn with me if you'd like. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring the good news of good things." Father, we pray this morning you would just continue to minister to our hearts. Quicken us by your Spirit. Teach us according to your word. Revive us in our hearts. And help us and lead us in focus in our minds. We would give you our attention this morning, as we think about your work and the privilege of being a part of that. We pray, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are an evangelical church. Hopefully we can all say we are evangelical Christians in an evangelical church. To be evangelical means that we believe the gospel. It also means that we teach the gospel. It also means that we take the gospel, and it also means we would support people who are doing that also in other places. We are evangelical. It comes from the word evangel, the good news. Used 75 times in the New Testament, this word evangel, the good news of the gospel of grace. We believe that there's only one Savior, one gospel, one way. We believe that men are lost, that heaven and hell are real places, that time is short, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man will come to the Father but through Him. We believe there's only one name under heaven in Acts 4:12 by which a man can be saved. That's woven into our worldview as Christians. We believe that man is lost and Christ is the Savior. That life is short and eternity is long. And we have a great commission. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul said that God has entrusted us with the gospel of grace. What a wonder that God has entrusted us. And he says, and that gospel, even so we speak. How could we be silent? How could we be still if we really believe that, that the gospel is what men need, what every man, woman, and child is looking for? That's the gospel that we have, that we believe. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said to his disciples, he says, when the Holy Spirit has come, you will receive power and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. From Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the world. And that translates for every church. Every church has Jerusalem, it's Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. And God has given our small church this incredible open door to India. God has given us India in our little church. What a privilege to be connected with that. And just like the Salvation Army with William Booth used to say, soup, soap, and the gospel. Meaning meeting the physical needs, but also the spiritual needs. Soup and soap, of course, but even that being a medium, a way with the compassion and the love of God to meet physical needs, but also really seeing that there is a spiritual need that is far greater. For what does it mean for someone's belly to be filled and have a roof over their house if they are lost? But to meet all of those needs, what a privilege that would be. And this church over these years, through the home and of course support, financial support, we took the cases of supplies and things that people have given and donated. The money and the food and the supplies, as wonderful as that is. But also when you're in this home, you see these children being raised in the faith. I think from 6 or 7 years old to about 17, 18 years old. And they sit on the floor, on the little rug on the floor, crowded in, their eyes are wide and they're listening and they're hungry. And we had meetings with them all week filled with joy and thankfulness. I remember Sunemi, this precious girl who's in college, been in the home for a few years, and she said, oh, will you come again and teach the Bible again? Will you teach us another song? Will you come again this week? Will you come tomorrow? Will you come next year? Will you come again? And here we read these verses in Romans 10:13. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And now, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? What does it mean to be sent? Well, in fact, we are all sent. That is the Great Commission to all of us. In John 17:18, Jesus, in his priestly prayer to the Father, said, "O Father, even as you sent me, now I send them into the world." We have been sent with a message, with a purpose, with a commission. But then also being sent by a local church. We see that in Acts 13, verse 2. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul." And then the leaders laid their hands on them and they sent them out. We had that 2 weeks ago, remember, for this missions trip. That with the vote and the sanction of the church and the laying on of the hands of the leaders and a prayer of faith, we went as ambassadors, really, of the Lord, but representing this local church and the faith expressed here. And why are we sent ones, whether we are sent here in Jerusalem or to the othermost parts of the world? It's because of people. It's people. That God loves people. That God sees people. That God is moved with compassion when he sees the multitudes. That's in Matthew 9. Remember, it says when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would," what? "Send forth laborers into the harvest field." It's interesting, he told them to pray. But God would know what we would pray for before we would pray it. He could answer that without us praying, but he has asked us to pray to him that we would send forth laborers. I've always found it interesting that a few verses later in 10 verse 2, those who prayed became those who were sent. As they prayed and connected with the heart of Christ, with compassion for the lost ones, they were the ones that went out two by two with the gospel. So why are we sent and why do we go? Why is it in our heart to pray, to support, to believe, to invite? Because of people, lost people. It doesn't matter what country or what level of society, whether young or old, educated or not, or poor, it doesn't matter. The need is the same. We sat in the office of a high political leader. In the same room was the second richest man in the state of Orissa and all of these men surrounding us. And then the next day we walked in the home of a leper in the poorest of conditions. But it's the same. Men are lost and they need Christ. That's why we are sent and that's why we believe. That's why we support. That's why we pray. That's why we come. And it was a great privilege for us to go in your stead, representing this church and the Lord, and to walk those streets. And we flew to Delhi, and then we flew to Visakhapatnam. Took me a while to learn how to say that. Oh, but it's in my vocabulary now. Can you say it? Visakhapatnam. And when we came out of the gate, and by the way, it was a wonderful privilege to be with Jeff and Richard. They are amazing men of faith and ministry. Their hearts and sacrifice, it so greatly blessed me. And to be with them was a privilege and a joy. And we came through the gate, and I it's all new to me, and I see these two dark-skinned Indian faces with these huge smiles, and David wearing his hat that he didn't take off all week except when he got married. And they greeted us with the flowers around our neck, and they honored us. And we got into the car, and we drove to the hotel. And the next day, we drove to Parakamundi. Is that right?
Yes.
Parakamundi. Can you say that? Parakamundi. And as you drive through the streets, it's hard to explain. I tasted it a little bit in Delhi in November, but this is just another level. It's another world. And your cultural frame of reference is in conflict all the time. Things that you see and hear, and they enjoyed watching me as we were driving through the street, and I was amazed at some of the things we were seeing. Things that are shocking, things that are wonderful, and things that are beautiful. And the most beautiful thing of all, of course, the children in the home. Jeff said to me, what was the highlight for you? And of course, there's so many things that compete for that in a trip like this. But the thing that comes to the heart is the children. Oh, these children. They are so beautiful. God has given them to us in a sense. It put them in our hearts and in our prayers. And I can't believe, I thought, God, you've added these people to my life. And my life will never be the same. The noise and the smells and the sights. And when we came to the home, I'll never forget the first time we're driving through the barren, dry countryside of Orissa. And all of a sudden, off the road, and there is this the brightest building you can imagine. Because with the last paint of coat, the children got to choose the colors. And it is the brightest green, the brightest pink, and the brightest orange. Sounds awful, but it's beautiful. It is beautiful. They chose it. And you pull into the dirt track that leads up to the building, and we pull up, and these children run out and they hug you and they kiss you and they hug you and they kiss you, and they're smiling, and there's so much joy, and you're just overwhelmed. You don't even know how to process it, but you just receive it. 50 of them. And then we had a meeting with them, and Jeff began to unpack a few of the cases and give them some gifts and things that were donated. And they were so thankful for that. And Jeff recounted the story to them, how important it is for them to hear that and for us to hear that again and again. What a miracle. David told us, he said, when I was a child, and his sister, his older sister, testified to this, when I was a child, I used to write England in the dirt with my finger, and I used to watch the planes go over, and in my heart I used to pray, oh God, one day if I could go to England. And he was in some railway station somewhere, and this English woman met him, and he shared with her his heart and vision for the children. And she said, would you come to England? He said, oh, I've always dreamed I could go. So he came to England, and during that trip he was on a bus. I might get this wrong, but he was on a bus, and he saw our church. And he got the phone number, and he called, and he said, I want to come to the church. So that Sunday he came, many of you will remember. And he was given a few minutes in the pulpit, and he said, I was praying for 3 days that they would be able to understand my English. They would be able to see God's heart. And then at that point, he had 7 children. They lived together in one room, one very basic room. And he slept in that room with the children. And Jeff and Richard went, and they saw it. Oh, thank you for going. And they saw it, and God put it on their heart and on the heart of this church to support that work. And today there is an amazing building with rooms and children and incredible provision. And one of the things that greatly blessed me was to see that it's not only a children's home to meet the physical needs. And that redemption in their life is beautiful. But the heart of David and the team there is evangelical. And they pray together and they teach the Bible and they sing songs. And that is a huge blessing to see that happening. I've been to many amazing places in my life, and you see incredible things in cities and countries, but always the most beautiful and the most wonderful thing to see is the work of God. Wherever you go, that's always, oh, there it is, the work of God. And that's what we saw. And after Jeff had spoken, we got out these gospel bracelets, which many of you have seen. It's just a simple little visual to walk through the gospel. Oh, these were wonderful. We used them in the villages and with many different people, and also the gospel cube. And in Vishakhapatnam, we were in a shop and we bought a whiteboard because they don't have one at the home. So we bought a whiteboard, which I was so thankful that we bought for £40, because we were able to do sketchboard pictures and preaching for the kids and stories, and it was a great visual for them. So we had the meetings with them, and they sang to us. Another day we were able to take them to the beach. Oh, there was a lot of people on that bus. A couple of our kids were throwing up out the window. Oh, the joy that was on that bus. And we drove somewhere in the Bay of Bengal. And we were in a forest of palm trees. I've seen palm trees, but I've never been in a forest as far as you can see, just coconut palms. Hundreds and hundreds of them. And we cooked under the palm trees and we went down to the beach. And I swam in the Indian Ocean with 50 Indian children. It was incredible. It was incredible. All the joy they had. And they never get to do that. When Jeff and Richard first took them, many of them had never seen the ocean before. And now this is a trip they look forward to every year. We saw Sujata. Is that right? Sujata. And most of you know the story, perhaps some of you don't, but they were on a trip some years ago and Richard saw her when she was six or something. And she had a broken leg. And the witch doctor had tried to put mud on it and tried to fix it, and nothing could happen. Richard was moved with compassion for her, found out how much it would be. And now she walks perfectly. She's a beautiful young teenage girl, and her family were there. So thankful. What a miracle. Beautiful to see her after hearing the story. And another day we went to a Hindu village where there's a small church there. And pray for David because he visits the villages. He has a church planting desire and a ministry. And we went to this Hindu village, the one that Jeff mentioned, and they have this church. It's a little shack. The walls are made of cow dung, pasted onto bits of wood and painted white with a tin roof on it. And they put a tin roof on it because then if the monsoons remove it, the government will replace it. And they save up their money and they build this tiny little house, this little shack. And it's their pride and joy. And we walked in there, and as we walked in, they're playing the drums and the instruments and they're singing, and you come in and they bend down and they stroke your shoes as a sign of respect, and they received us like family and honored us like royalty. We sat in the chairs and we went through the bracelet with them. We gave them the bracelets, and then we preached from John chapter 3 about being born again. It was a glorious time. And then we pulled away from that little church with a whole crowd of them, 30 people or so, just waving and thanking us. And speaking to us from not Hindi, but a rural country dialect. There were times when we were preaching, we would have two translators, and they were both these rural dialects. It's quite something. Or that we were allowed of God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. We went to another village. This one was up in the mountains. Baran Singh was called. One of the guys who works in the home, his name is Esau. I kept telling him not to sell his birthright. He works in the kitchen. He's a wonderful small man with a huge heart, serves in the kitchen. And we went up to where he lived. He showed me his house and where he was from. And when we came to that village, I didn't know what was happening. Jeff didn't tell me. We stopped some way from the village. We got out of the car, and there was a crowd of people there, and they began to play instruments and sing, and the kids were dancing with all their might. The whole crowd of kids dancing and singing. And then we began to move, and I realized they were escorting us into the heart of the village. And people were added to it, and we marched all the way into the village, and we were the honored guests there. And when we came into the courtyard of the church, we sat down, and they washed our feet. And they put flowers around our neck, and they led us into the church. HK, who's David's brother, told me that in the 50s, and in fact I looked it up online, from the 1850s through to the 1950s, the Canadian Baptist missions went to Orissa. And they went to that region and they preached the gospel. And those Hindu villages became Christian villages. And HK said to me, "We are Christians because of them." And I thought, perhaps some of those missionaries are very elderly, or they've passed on to heaven, and perhaps they don't know the full fruit of their labors. And I last night I sent them an email because I wanted, does anyone want to know? We were just there, and what's happening? And amazing, isn't it, to think how God used those people in that fervent period of missions from England in the 1900s. We're going everywhere. From Canada and from different countries, and we go up this windy mountain road, and we come, and they escort us into the church, and all the women are on one side and all the men are on the other. We're thinking we might implement that. And all the men were sitting in seats, and all the younger women were sitting on the floor. And there was a man in the church with a security with a security uniform and a long stick. And he would go around the church, and if anyone was sleeping, he would prod them. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Is he really? He goes down the aisle, and there's some woman sitting on the floor. I couldn't believe it. And then there were kids at the front, and if the kids were out of line, he would pull one kid up and move him over here. So we're going to implement that. We're going to give someone a big stick. And no, I guess it gets so hot there that maybe there's a need for that. And there we had two translators. H.K. David's brother speaks 14 languages, 8 of them fluently. And these are these rural dialects where only this group of people speak them. It's incredible. And we did the bracelets with them. Well, at first we preached from John 4. We preached about 45 minutes, and then afterwards they had a song, and they said, "Hey, can you preach again?" And I said, well, we just had a full message. Do you want to preach again? And he said, yes, if you could preach again, that would be good. So I asked, I said, I know we had just had a message, but he's saying you'd like another message. How many? And every arm went bolt upright. I couldn't believe it. So we're going to implement that. No, we preached, and it was a wonderful time. And afterwards, we went out onto the balcony, and we had our last 200 of these bracelets. And from the balcony, all the people and the children were gathered, and we went through the bracelets, and we each bead and the gospel, and we gave them out. Oh, it was glorious. And then they had lunch, and they're all sitting on the floor and eating with their hands, and the joy and the fellowship in the courtyard. It was glorious. It was wonderful. Each day, we were never quite sure exactly what was going to happen. But God was leading us and blessing us. I thought of Acts chapter 10, the prayer of Cornelius, remember? Where he prayed, and we could imagine his prayer from the context was that he would know God, that he would know the answer, that he would know the true God, that God would somehow let him know the truth, and then God sends Peter. We thought about those types of divine appointments in this country, in this Hindu land. You're driving down the street and there are temples and altars for every god you can imagine, some small and some large. There are offering sacrifices of grain and fruit and all the time. And we met different people and we were able to share with them. In Acts 16, in verse 8, remember, Paul has the Macedonian vision. And in that vision, he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. What is the greatest way you could help someone but to share the gospel with them? To tell them the truth, the way, to give them, to bring hope and joy and peace into their life. And when they came to Philippi, they meet Lydia, remember? God had prepared her. It says that God opened her heart to hear the words that Paul said to her, and she became a believer. We met that young girl. Her name was Svati, in the leper colony. We went to the leper colony, and I wasn't sure what to expect. I don't think anything can prepare you for it. There are 22 people there on the leper colony, and they live in these tiny little rooms, dirty floors, so basic they have nothing. Their livelihood is begging on the streets. And these are beautiful people. And we met with a group of them who professed to be Christians and very open to our words. By the way, these lepers, they are actually cured from their disease. And that's because of this church. It's amazing that after the first trip, when they came back, they researched, how can we get the medicine to cure them from their leprosy? And we did that and paid for that. And now they still have the signs of the leprosy they once had, but they are cured. But no one in the community would touch them or go near them because they fear that they would get it, although it's not contagious. And one woman, when we were there, and we brought supplies, we brought a pile of blankets, and it was when I began to hand out the blankets, I just broke because you feel you're doing so little. And that we had the food and the supplies, and we gave it out. And this one woman, in fact, it was Svati's mum, she said to us, she said, oh, these supplies, we will use these supplies and we will eat this food. And thank you so much for that. But this will pass, but your love will last forever, that you have loved us. And she said, when we see you, it is like seeing Jesus. That's what she said. That's immeasurable How do you measure that? That's immeasurable. That's eternal. There is nothing more beautiful than that, than the work of God. And then there were these teenagers in the leper colony who don't have leprosy. Two of them, Krishna Beni and her teenage brother, I forget his name, they were born to lepers, but they didn't have leprosy. So they grew up, imagine, they grew up on the leper colony. And then Svati, who's 17, and you'll see pictures of her, she is the most beautiful teenager, 17, beautiful. And she grew up on that leper colony. Because when she was a baby girl, she was abandoned next to the hospital in a field. And the lady who found her was a leper. And because she touched her, no one else would have her. So she was raised on the leper colony. And when you walk through this colony, you are reduced to tears. Again and again, you're just holding it back. Because there's a contrast of so many emotions going through your heart and mind when you see these people and you see their thankfulness and the simplicity. And we did the bracelets and we shared the gospel with them and prayed with them. And at the end of the week, on the last day, Svati particularly, but both of the girls were really on my heart. Because we'd done the bracelet, but I wish I had more time with them to speak with them. And so we sent for them, and on the last day, the two girls were brought to us, and I sat down with them with a translator, and got to lead them both to Christ, and that was the highlight. That was a highlight of my life, really, to see that. And then we went to a village called Guma. This is the village where the Lima family is from, where David and HK and Michael, their other brother who also works in the home. This is this little mountain village, also a Christian village because of the mission's history there. And they took us to their house, and again you'll see pictures you wouldn't imagine. They're just this tiny little Christian community with very basic houses, and there's cows and pigs and dogs, and we go into their little house, and it's this wide, and it goes all the way back and back and back to the other street, and these little rooms, and you just think of these little boys that grew up there, HK and David and Michael, and how that God is using these men in this home and in this mission, that they have a heart that people would know the gospel. And when we got there, we did a circuit of the village. We went down one street and we went back around the other street. And of course, many of these people, they never see non-Indian people. And they would come out the front of their houses and they would look at us. First of all, their faces like this. And then as soon as you smile, their face just lights up. It's very consistently look, and then you smile and they go it's wonderful. And we must have shaken hundreds and hundreds of hands and hugged hundreds of people and prayed with so many people, and they would invite us into their house and we would meet the grandmother and the children, and it was glorious. For some hours we're just greeting, hugging, going down the houses in Guma, because there was going to be a wedding feast there, because David was finally getting married, and all of the villages invited, and even the surrounding areas. They killed 7 cows. Shh, it's a Christian village, so they killed 7 cows, and they fed. Was it 2,000 people? Came and they had these pots like this, and they're stirring the rice, and then another one they're stirring the meat, and over here they're cutting the meat, and you just But it was good. It was wonderful. We lived to tell the tale. And then there was dancing for hours and hours, and we were up there on that street in Guma, and I was walking with these young men. Two of them, I remember their names, maybe their English names, James and Johnson. I think they were 17 years old. And there were seven of them. And we didn't have any bracelets left, but I was wearing one. So I had Marshall, who's one of the kids at the home. He's 17, I think, amazing young man. We hope he'll visit us here one day. We said to Marshall, "What do you want to do when you finish college?" He said, "I want to do what David's doing." He said, "I love David so much. He's so pure, and he has done so much for us. And I would love to do what David has done. I would love to start a children's home and minister like he." And we spoke to him, maybe God's plan for him and to be a minister or to whatever God has for him. He's a great young man. Anyway, Marshall translated for me. He knew these guys because Marshall's from that same, from Guma. And I spoke to these young men, seven of them, and Marshall's translating, and I said, I went through the bees and I said, do you believe that if you died you would go to heaven? And all seven of them went, "Oh, no, 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 we will go to hell," they said. And I said, "Is that because of the black bead? Is that because of the black bead, because of sin?" And they said, "Yes, yes." And I said, "Oh, but the red bead, Jesus has died for your sin. This is the gospel, that he paid for your sin. He was the sacrifice for your sin, so that now he is the savior for those who would believe." And I said, "If Jesus was here and he was saying to you, 'Oh, listen, I love you. I died for you to be your savior. Please open your heart and receive me as your savior, and I will give you the gift of eternal life.' What would you say to him?" And they said, "Oh, we would say yes. We would say, 'Come in, be my savior.'" And I said, "I got good news for you. He is here. And that is what he's saying. That is his desire. That is the gospel." And we bowed our heads, and all seven of those men prayed and received Christ. It was beautiful. It was glorious. Because just like being in England, and we think of this as a Christian nation, perhaps, once upon a time, whatever that means, and you could think, "Oh, I grew up in a Christian country," and you might ask someone on the street, "Are you a Christian?" They might say, "Yes, because I'm from a Christian country," or, "I go to church," or, "I live a good life." In the same way, in one of these little villages in the mountains, a few generations after the Canadian missionaries went there, how easy it could be that we're in a Christian village, but yet we're not really Christians. So these guys became believers, and they were stuck with us the rest of the time. Johnson and James and his friends in Guma. And just a couple more things. Sorry, we've got communion. I've finished. In the providence of God, we found ourselves in this government official's office. And as we were talking to us, he's a Hindu man, he told us, "Well, I like," he said, "Shh, come over here. I like Christians." We said, "Oh, great." He said, "I have a school. I want you to come to the school." So the next morning, we find ourselves, and he said I could speak there. So we're on this platform. There's 400 kids in this Hindu school lined up like soldiers, quoting their English, and we got to speak there with a translator. We spoke about Solomon and the book of Ecclesiastes, a man looking for his purpose, and the Queen of Sheba, and we got as close as we could to the gospel. And that was an incredible open door we had at that place. And then on that same day was our last day. And we were at the home. And we had our last meeting with the children. And they danced for us. The girls danced. And then the boys danced. And sometime we'll show that video. It was wonderful. And we sang another song with them. We prayed together, and with the whiteboard behind, we took a picture of each child with their name above it. How many would like that? Wouldn't that be great? The faces and the names. 50 children, so we can pray for them. And we'll show you those, get those to you. And we said our farewells. And that was hard. That was really hard. And these children, they're looking at you and they're at the window and their tears rolling down their face. This young man, Abraham, 17 years old, and tears rolling. He's saying, "Oh, Jeff, sir, Richard, sir, Graham, sir, please come back again. Please come back again. Will you come back again? Promise you'll come back again." And there are tears and the kids are crying. And we drive away and there was just silence in the car for half an hour. We just could not speak for what God had done and what God had given us. And I realized on this trip, and really just hear this, what an incredible privilege it is to be a part of that work of God in any measure. It's our privilege. It's our privilege to support that as an individual or as a church, to pray, to go, to give. It's our privilege to do that, that God would allow us to give to that, to support that, to make that difference in those kids' lives and many more beyond that. It's a great privilege to support that. Jim Elliot said, who was a missionary martyr in South America, he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today just for the privilege that we have as a church, as an evangelical church, to believe the gospel, to teach the gospel, to take the gospel, to support missions. What a privilege in this hour. And we do pray that you would lead us forward and bless our hearts and minds and the vision. Lead us, help us, bless us, keep us. We thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Perhaps there's someone here today and you're not sure of your salvation. Oh, it's the red bead. Jesus loves you. He died for you on the cross, paid for your sins. Maybe you've been to church many times, but you've never been truly saved. Just say, "Jesus, save me today. Give me the gift of eternal life today, that I might know you, walk with you in Jesus' name." Bless the home, the kids, David, the team today, and minister to all of our hearts in the faith in Jesus' name. Prepare our hearts now for communion. We take a few moments to just consider our lives. Just bring anything to the focus as we quiet our hearts before you and confess any sin to you, God, just that you would cleanse our hearts and be blessed in this time of communion to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sorry if I've taken the time a little bit further, but God bless you. Thank you.